Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, sweet friends. I'm so glad you're here today. My name is Leenie Heiss, and I'm your host, and I can't wait for today's episode. She's here! Today, I got to sit down with Moms in Prayer founder Fern Nichols to talk about the beginning of our ministry. You're gonna fall in love with Fern, I promise, and fall in love with her Jesus as she shares the story that only God could have written. This woman exudes love for Jesus and the next generation. If you've never heard the Moms in Prayer story or need reminding that God is at work today, today's episode is just for you. Well, it is my great honor to introduce you to my friend Fern Nichols. Fern, thank you for being here this morning.
Lee, there is no place I'd rather be.
Oh, friend, you are the founder of Moms in Prayer International. Global ministry. At this moment, 146 countries around the world have a Moms in Prayer group within their country. Can you believe this has happened?
You know, it's like God just does amazing things when you just are obedient in one little moment. You have no idea what he's got in mind.
Yeah.
And that's why I love telling this story of Moms in Prayer and how it started, because it's history, his story.
So tell us about the beginning of Moms in Prayer. Take us back to this time, almost 35 years ago, when Moms in Prayer began. And who were you? And what was your family like? And what was God doing?
Well, as I just visualize that moment of hugging my two oldest sons, blessing them as they went off to that junior high school, it was like fear just grabbed a hold of my heart, because I knew that I was sending them into a battlefield for their hearts and minds. They were raised in the Word of God. They both asked Jesus into their heart, but I knew that Satan wanted to steal, kill, and destroy. And the protection, the greatest protection that I could give them as I let them go, because I can't follow them around, was through prayer. And I prayed for them all their life, but there was such a burden, a deep burden for them and for the kids at that school, that I said, oh, Lord, just at that moment, as I was abiding with the Lord, talking with him about my fears of the immorality they would be facing, or drugs, or the pornography, and the philosophies that would be taught that were not biblical, I said, Lord, you must have one other mom who would take time out of her busy schedule and come to my home and pray. And the Lord immediately gave me the name of a woman whose daughter went to that school, and she loved Jesus. So I immediately called her and I said, Linda, I have such a burden for our kids at this school. And I just think we need to get together and pray. And I said, and it's not going to be a time of talking about what's, you know, fearful in our hearts about the school, but it's going to be a time of praying, being intentional about that hour of prayer, of seeking God on behalf of the children in schools.
So when you called Linda, you told her, we're going to get together and we're just going to be praying. Did it stay the two of you for very long? How did your first group grow?
Well, when Linda and I were talking, we said, you know what? I bet you there's some other moms that would want to join us. Because I really had a strategic plan for this hour. And it's called the Four Steps of Prayer, to really keep God at the center the whole hour, so that there would be no talking, but really in prayer. So when I told Linda this, that, you know, we weren't going to serve coffee or have any refreshments of any kind, but it was just really going to be a time of battling for the lives of our children. And so we thought, you know, there's got to be a few others. So we thought of a few other moms, and each one said yes. So that following week, I think there were about five of us that met in my home. And we prayed through these four steps of prayer. So what was really interesting about that, praying praise, confession, thanksgiving, and intercession, and on the word of God, I mean, it became an hour of hope. You know, we can't change a heart. Only God can change a heart. And so we saw so many answers to prayer, Lee. I mean, it was just like, oh my goodness, our Thanksgiving time was truly a Thanksgiving party. And when you get excited about something and you see God at work, you can't help but tell others. So we were telling our friends, and it began to grow. Moms would call me and say, oh, I hear what's happening at the junior high school and you guys are praying. Would you come to my house and tell my friends, my kids go to elementary school, about how we can get started? So the Lord opened up doors where I just went from home to home sharing about the ministry. And I think women loved the structure. It wasn't loosey-goosey.
Yep.
There, it was a focus. And that is the mission of Moms in Prayer, to gather women together. Pray for the kids in the school.
Is that prayer sheet, the original four steps of prayer that we prayed? You just said the four steps, praise, confession, thanksgiving, and intercession. But as the intercession went forward, are we still praying the same way that you prayed in that initial meeting?
You know what? At that time, I never once thought that I would need to be praying that God would protect our school from predators from within and without, that there would be mass shootings on our school campus. I mean, Satan is just pulling out all the stops to destroy this next generation of children. And who's going to pray for them? Who will stand in the gap on their behalf? And what I love about this ministry is so unselfish. Yes, we pray for our children for absolute sure, but we also pray for their friends. We got the yearbook and we looked at their little pictures and prayed specifically for salvation for every single child and teacher and administrator and coach on that campus. For we know that when lives are changed on that campus, that school will be changed for Christ. I don't know. I kind of feel like, Lee, it's like God was desperate for, I mean, God saw the multitudes of children that desperately needed prayer. And so he brought some ordinary little moms together, releasing God's power through prayer. And it's like, he said, I can count on moms. They'll pray my heart for this next generation of children that I so desperately want to know me. I've come to seek and save the lost, but who will pray for the softening of the hearts of the kids and everyone at that school so that when they hear the word of God or read the word of God, it will land on a soft heart. And that's what I love about this ministry. We do evangelism praying. Preparing the heart for when they receive the truth, it will land on good soil.
One of the things I also love that I feel like is unselfish is that we're praying for the teachers that are involved in our kids' lives. It's easy to see this as an us and them scenario, probably in both directions for teachers, but in so many ways, we begin partnering with teachers. And I don't know what your groups pray, but we're always praying that the Lord would make them excellent teachers, that they'd be so good at what they do and that our kids would love to learn. And so I'm sure you've had conversations with teachers and said over the years, we're praying for you. I wonder, have you had any teachers respond to you about your praying for them?
Do you know, I love that you mentioned that, because what happens when we start praying for teachers, we begin seeing them through Jesus' eyes. They're not out to clobber our kids.
Yep.
They need prayer, especially even the Christian teachers. I mean, when the Christian teachers that I've known and I've told them I'm praying for them, they said, oh, thank you, thank you. And I said, well, how can I pray for you? And then they just share their heart. I mean, they are under so much. For them to know that there is a group praying for them, it has just brought life into their teaching. As we pray for the teachers, I remember one teacher who was a Christian teacher, and he was just a little, he wasn't liked very much on the campus, and he was a teacher, and when kids would want to, you know, go get extra help, he would say, hey, my door is shut at this time, and, you know, and I'm out of here. And it was such a God thing as we prayed for him. It was not to be critical of him. We are not critical in our moms in prayer time. No, we love. We prayed for this teacher and saw him as a needy teacher. Oh, God, open his eyes to know that he has the most influential position here. And may the love of Christ shine through him. Well, at the end of the year, his door was open to the kids. And he actually gave, and I don't, probably can't do that now, but back then, he gave one of the kids a ride home on his motorbike. That's just one example. But you know what we did, Lee? And it's very optional in the ministry. We are about the hour. Those four steps. We are partnering with Jesus for the lives of the children and all that goes on at that school. But sometimes when you love somebody that love, you know, you want to do something. And so I asked the gals, I said, you know what? Let's just two or three times a year just bring a little goodie to the staff. And so that's what we did. And the principal sent me a letter and said, Mrs. Nichols, I just can't tell you how much I appreciated that beautiful Thanksgiving cake that you brought. You have recharged 42 batteries here at this school. Mm. That parents care. They're not grumbling and complaining. They're coming and giving a little something. And we always prayed, oh, Lord, that they would know your love through that first bite. And then I personally, even to this day, send two or three times a year. And I have 10 grandchildren now. So that's a lot of teachers. But just a Starbucks card or, a little gift of goodie or whatever. And I tell you, the response has been, you just asked me, and I just sent this to my 17-year-old grandson's history teacher. He says, hi, Nana. And he writes me this little letter. It's just the cutest little thing. He says, my Nana-in-law has a sign on her door that says, my favorite people call me Nana. I am sure you are in that same club. Thank you so much for the Starbucks gift card. At this time of year, I really need it. I want to take the time to thank you for having a hand in raising such a wonderful young man who consistently does his very best.
Yay!
He says, I always say that life is a journey and he is setting a solid path for himself. I mean, I had no expectation of getting that, but I have received, I can't tell you, and I've kept the notes of the teachers that were so personally blessed. So to bless a teacher, you know, if the Lord leads you in this way, to let you know that you care, that you love them. And I tell them right off the bat, I said, hi, I'm Nana, and I'm Josh's Nana, and you're an answer to prayer, because I prayed that all the teachers that he gets this year would be just a very special one. And I guess that's you. Mm. So it's very, but it is also saying that I am a praying Nana.
I love the example that you set for us in the middle of the giving like that to our teachers, especially just words of blessing and prayer.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said, it doesn't have to be anything over the top. It's just a small thank you. Yeah. And it could even just be a note, right?
Just a little note. And you know, the ones that are Christians, I love personalizing scripture for them at the end. This is what I'm praying for you. Because that's what we do for our kids during the hour that we pray for them. The personalized scripture prayer has been so powerful as women are learning how to pray the Word of God.
You probably have taught many women how to pray scripture. I wonder what you would say to a woman who says, I really struggle with praying scripture. Why did you start us praying scripture? And then how do you teach women to turn that into a prayer?
It's God's heart. And when we partner with Christ, we want to pray according to His will and His Word. And when there are, I've heard the last count, like over 7,000 promises that he's given us. It's like those promises are to be filled through the asking. A couple that I absolutely love is the Philippians 1:6. Oh, Father, you began a good work in Troy. And I pray that you would continue that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is praying a powerful prayer. because Troy, in his little journey in high school, was kind of getting off of that path. And that's the other one I love to pray in Psalms 23. Oh, God, keep Troy on the path of righteousness. So it's God is teaching us how to pray as we pray back his heart. That is so powerful. So what happens then is we are releasing the power and the provision of God because we have prayed according to his will and his word. And that, you know what that does? And you know this. It gives us confidence in our praying because a lot of women will say, I don't know how to pray. I don't feel confident in my prayers. And I'm saying, oh, honey, we got a whole Bible full of them. That will build your confidence. That will give you that boldness. God, you said this. It is written, Father, and I believe it. So thank you for what you're going to do in the life of my daughter or my son.
I heard Catherine Larson say, actually, I think she said it to me in the middle of an interview, that Moms in Prayer feels like a Bible study and a prayer time because we are taking the time to meditate on scripture and turn it over and over and over in our minds. And that in doing that, we're actually growing in the word and growing in prayer at the same time. And she said that's one of her favorite parts of the ministry. But I see that too, that we grow as women who know our God as we pray these scriptures back and forth.
You know, that I've never heard that. And that is a beautiful way to say it. Because the whole hour is centered on the Lord. And I love it when we start with praise because, you know, whatever we come in at that hour, wherever our child is and the heartache that he might or she might be bringing to us, you know, at that particular time we come. And then when we praise the sovereignty of God, the sovereign, the blessed controller of all things, the King of Kings, the creator of the heavens and the earth, it's like, okay, this is going on down here, but I'm coming to you, Sovereign Lord, and you are the one that can change this boy. So the praise, when we take one attribute each week of who our God is, you know what? This is really true, and it's kind of like what you just said here. We begin then to trust the one we know. Mm-hmm. We can say, oh God, you are sovereign, but to live it, to know it, to breathe it, to have peace in it, that is really the power of this hour.
Well, it is a powerful hour. Fern, when did Moms in Prayer escape California? When did it start to spread like wildfire across the United States?
Well, actually, you know, we're an international ministry, and my husband and I were with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. And he was the coach of Athletes in Action, and they transferred the team to British Columbia, Canada. And that's where the ministry started, out of the United States. So we're international right off the bat. Isn't that fun? After 7 years of being there and starting Moms in Prayer that last year, there were about maybe 20-some groups in British Columbia, Canada at that time. And when we came down to California, I said, Lord, there must be another mom in all of California that will take time to pray with me. And God brought her to me at the beginning of the year, praying for Poway High. We had a couple come to pray. And then at the end, there were 10. We began to grassroots tell because God was changing us, like we just talked about, giving hope in our heart, making us confident in our prayers, expectation of answers and what God was going to do at that school. So we told other people. And then this is the miracle story. Well, this is all a miracle story because, I mean, God showed me the vision just a little bit at a time. Otherwise, it would have been way too overwhelming. We had a little retreat in 1988 up in the mountains in California, the hills. And we started to pray and give thanks for what God was doing in our groups and in our life. And one mom said, and Lord, you need to tell all the women of California. And then another mom said, yeah, but what about the women in Oregon? What about the women in Washington? So we started praying, Lord, we asked that you'd raise up women. And we went all across the United States. And they said, well, what about our Russian sisters? What about our... So then we began to pray these huge, unbelievable, only God prayers of the whole world knowing about this ministry. And then there is silence, like, oh, whoa, what did we just pray? And then this little sweet mama voice says, Lord, Dr. Dobson can tell the whole world. We pray that we get on his program. And we all said, yes, yes. 3 months later, as I was stirring spaghetti, I get a call from Luann from Focus on the Family. And she says, hi, is this her? I said, yes. She said, this is Luann Crane from Focus on the Family. I said, whoa. I didn't know what to say. She said, yeah, you're getting quite a portfolio here. I said, really? How? What? We're hearing about you all over the country. I said, oh. She said, yes. She said, I just want to write down your vision, share it from your heart. And I said, I'm going to write it down the best I can, and we'll pass it across Dr. Dobson's desk. I mean, I remember there's hundreds of requests to be on his program. And so she did that. Actually, by the time I finished sharing the vision, she said, Fran, I'm going to start a group. And she did start a group. And so Dr. Dobson, he spotted his eyes on us. And 3 months later, there were 12 of us in his studio sharing the life changing that was taking place in our life, our kids' lives, our school. And you know what we prayed? We said, okay, Lord, thank you for the one day. We are so grateful for the one day. But Lord, what if there's a mom that needs to hear it? She can't hear it that day. Could you please give us two? God gave 3 days and over 20,000 responses. Wow. We've never been the same since. Never been the same since.
Well, when that phone rang, you couldn't say, I cannot believe this is happening. Focus on the Family just called me, because you had just asked in prayer.
We did.
For Focus on the Family to call. Only our God does that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and so this is his story. This is a Holy Spirit prayer movement that is calling moms to pray. And that's what I love about our theme verse. Arise, cry out. You know, pray in the night watches. You know, our children are fainting from hunger at the head of every street. Arise, moms. This is the most important thing you can do for you. This is the greatest ministry that you can have. And Lord, I thank you that you are arising, all these women. I thank you, even for my own daughter-in-laws, to see them be a part of the ministry as well is just huge.
Abundantly above what we can ask or imagine.
Yes.
You know, Fern, I'm pretty sure that we're going to hear from our Moms in Prayer Canada sisters that the ministry actually began in British Columbia. They like to remind us about stuff like that. So hello to Canada.
Aww. So sweet.
That's so fun. It is so fun to see what God is doing in the next generation. You know this. I got to meet you for the first time when we were in Dallas celebrating at Festival of Joy together. And when I went into that room and those flags came down the aisle with those beautiful women holding those flags, just marching into this music, I realized, oh, I thought I was just in a little prayer group in Michigan. Just this is this little thing that I was doing in my little school. And that moment when those flags marched in that room, I thought, oh, we are a part of an army that is so much greater than just our 12 little women at that table each week. That we have a global army now.
Lee, thank you for sharing that, because it is evidence that this is God's ministry. Mm-hmm. And now being a part of a grandma's in prayer, praying for my 10 grandchildren that they will love the Lord with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, and their neighbor as themselves, that they would fulfill the destiny that God has for their lives, to do the good deeds that God had planned for them before the foundation of the world. I mean, we are in desperation for this generation of children to be Jesus lovers and truly love Jesus more than the world. And that's why we stand in the gap. That's why we take the time to pray together. And the corporate prayer is so powerful. Where two or three, God says, I'm right in the midst. There is a special presence of Christ when we cry out together. The power is in the agreement prayer. I mean, the corporate prayer. Women, many will say, I've never prayed out loud in my whole life. And once I came and I learned how to do this, I'll never stop. To hear another mom pray for your child with such love and care and around the scripture, it changes us. We know that we are not alone.
Fern, our time together is going to go by so quickly, but I want to ask you a last question, and that's, you've moved into a new role in Moms in Prayer now, and yes. I want to know, what do your days look like, and what's your role at Moms in Prayer now, and are you pleased with that role and with where we're headed?
Oh, thank you for asking that, because I am so pleased with my role as founder. What I've seen God do, I knew that there needed to be a succession for God to raise up Sally. She was, you know, with the ministry over 20 years. She knows it. She loves it. She's been leadership in it. And I wish I could just tell you the whole story of how God just so placed her on my heart to pass the baton to. It was my baby. I was not just going to give this baby to any old buddy. And how God orchestrated that, I give him all the glory and the praise. So now my role is to mentor her, to come alongside of her, to pray for her, and not only her, but all those at staff. Greater time to pray for the leadership throughout the world. I'm also personally mentoring some others. But what I love is that I have time to continue to share the ministry as I speak. I love that part of what I'm doing right now. And so it's like my days are full. I have more time in prayer, quiet time. I so want to be the encouragement and the builder upper, if I could say it that way, of the leadership in this ministry. I'm having speaking opportunities, little and big, that I know I could not have done if I was still in the dailies of the ministry. This is a sweet spot. And of course, I get more time with my 10 grandkids to infuse in them not only my love, but I always ask the Lord, Lord, when I'm with them today, will you bring the supernatural into the natural that I might declare who you are? And well, when I take Sawyer, do I have time for one little story?
Absolutely.
He's 4 years old, and we love to go on our little walks together. And he loves snails, but we're very careful. I mean, they're God's little creatures. Because I said, now, Sawyer, you know, who made that snail? God did. And I said, yes, and so we don't want to crunch the shell if the snail is alive in the shell. So we make sure there's no alive, you know, little snail in that shell. And then we crunch it and have the greatest time with that. And then I said, well, then, Sawyer, who made the trees? You know, who made that flower over there? Sawyer, who made you? God. Yes, Sawyer, God loved you so much. And then you just have this natural opportunity to just say beautiful things of how much God loves him. I could tell you story after story after story how God has, the Holy Spirit has so given me thoughts at an appropriate moment with one of my grandchildren that he just enters the scene. Well, you can tell I'm just speechless, and the joy of being able to pass down the goodness of God, the love of God, the miracles of God to the next generation.
Oh, Fern, I love getting to spend time with you. I know my friends are going to have loved hearing your voice. And of course, you're going to get to come back and talk to us more this spring. And I'm so excited about that. But Fern, I'm wondering if you could pray for all of the moms that are listening right now, that they would stay the course. One of the things I love is that you haven't abandoned your post as a praying mom. Now it just carries the next step as well, which is a praying grandmother. Can you pray that we would all stay the course as praying moms?
I would love to. Gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, this was your heart to gather moms around the world to cry out for the generations of children. So Heavenly Father, I pray for this mom who is listening right now, whose heart is very, very heavy, and she's going through hard times. Maybe it's her marriage, maybe it's provision, maybe it's a prodigal child, or children who do not know you, or just so many things they're facing in school. Lord, I pray that you would encourage her heart by the truth of what you tell her in your word. You say, cry to me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will give me glory. Heavenly Father, help us never to forget that you always hear and answer prayer. You're gracious to hear our cries, and then to gather us together so that others can come alongside and cry out with you in agreement prayer. So that woman, that mom that needs your encouragement right now, may she know that she is so extraordinarily loved by you and that you love her. You will help her. You will give her all that she needs to be the mom that you want her to be. So, Lord, I pray that she would not give up. She would not get faint-hearted in her prayers, that she would be tenacious, persistent, even though she doesn't see the answer. She knows that you are hearing and will answer because she knows your word, and that's what you tell her. That's truth. And all that she prays for her children, all the promises, all the specific requests, Father, she will not give up. She will stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Bless her. Give her hope today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, friend.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
Wasn't that a delight? Who do you know that needs to hear this story told by the only one who can do it justice, Fern herself? I was planning on sending today's link to my Moms in Prayer group members and to my entire area. I'm an area coordinator in West Michigan. Have I told that to you before? You can find today's show notes on our blog at momsinprayer.org. We'd love to engage with you on social media. We are Moms in Prayer International across every social media site. Remember that we love it when you drop us a comment. Until next time, friends, moms are making the difference. One little bitty mom like Fern Nichols and one little bitty mom like you. See you next time.